We're going to learn that Ayin Gimel Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the second to last line on the bottom of Ayin Beis Amabeis. So the Gemara over there is based on the Mishnah that we just learned. The Mishnah just said that if somebody gives Kedushin originally to his wife, but he makes it specifically conditioned upon the fact that she does not have Nedarim, and then it turns out that she does have Nedarim, so she is, that marriage falls apart. So if it's very clear that there is Kedushin on that condition, and in fact they find out that she has Nedarim, so there's no Kedushin whatsoever. If he gets married without specifying this condition, he never said anything, and then it turns out that she has Nedarim, so there the Mishnah has a slightly different halacha, which is the halacha is that the marriage is chal, and he's allowed to end it now because she has Nedarim, but he still has to give her a get, but he doesn't have to give her a ksuba. And the same thing is true in the context of mumin, that if she has a mum, if he either says it expressly, there's no kedushin in the first place. If he doesn't say it expressly, then the marriage goes through, but he can divorce her without a ksuba. On that note, the Gemara now on the bottom, second to bottom line, on the Ayin Beis and Beis, the Gemara says, Itmar. Kidsha al Tanai. So here we have a very interesting case, where originally when he did the Kedushin, he said, I'm only giving you the Kedushin that on condition that you don't have any Nedarim. However, Vikonso stopped. But then when it came to the marriage, all of a sudden over there, he doesn't say anything. So, now, what's the halacha over there? Did he forego on the original condition or not? So Rav Amar Tzricha Heimenu Get. So Rav says you need a get, which means, seems to imply, we're going to get into this in the Gemara in a moment, but it seems to imply that he dropped the condition. That seems to be the implication. So therefore, you need a get. That means the marriage went through, and the fact that he made the original condition doesn't make a difference. And Shmuel says, no, you don't even need a get, because if he originally said that the Kedushin is Chal Nedarim, even though he eventually got married, and at that time of the marriage he didn't say anything, he's still relying on the fact that we understand that the same conditions apply. So if the conditions are not fulfilled, you were never married in the first place. That is the simple explanation. That's not going to be the maskana of the explanation, but that's the simple explanation of the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Just a small hint. It's always hard to remember who needs a get, who doesn't need a get. The way I thought of different ways of remembering who holds what, so we can remind ourselves throughout the sugya. Rav's name is Reish Beis. It's only two letters. Get is two letters. Get. So Rav says you need a get. Okay? That's how I remember who says what when I'm in the middle of the sugi and I'm trying to remember so I don't get confused between the different names. Rav says you need a get, which means the kedushin, that means the marriage is chal. Okay? And Shmuel, therefore, is the other shita that says you don't need a get because the marriage is not chal. Okay, now let's get into this. What's the explanation for the various shitas? So Amar Abayas says, now that takes us to the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Don't say the explanation of Rav that it's a good marriage. That now that they got married without the condition, that means, oh, he dropped the whole condition entirely, and therefore there's no reason for it to, it's able to go through because he no longer needs the condition. And now the marriage is a good marriage. And you have to add, and this is where it gets complicated. And therefore, when he gets married, he has the Kedushin in mind also. Says, rather, the reason is that really he wants the marriage to be chal now. If he's going to do bia, he wants the bia to be a marital bia. And he doesn't want it to be outside of marriage. So therefore, he says, regardless of whether the Kedushin was chal or not, now I'm saying I want everything to be contingent right now, and if I'm doing the bia, I want the marriage to be chal. So that means that the condition is still, the point that the Gemara is trying to make according to Rav is that the conditions are still conditioned. The marriage is still conditional. However, if I'm already going that far, and this is the way the Rashi was, Masber and Rashi, if I'm already going that far and I'm having a bia, that the marriage, at least for the marriage aspect of it, for what I'm doing right now, that is a full-blown marriage. And therefore, we are married. Now, Is the condition still there? Yes, the condition still lingers in the background. And if it turns out that she's making nadarim that are inappropriate, or that he doesn't like, so then the marriage will fall apart and he's not chayev to give her a ksuba, because that, the condition is still there. That's the point that the Gemara is trying to make over here. The condition is still there. However, if I go that far and I take it all the way to a bia, so then the bia says, if I'm doing the bia, then this marriage has to be chal because of the sake of the bia. Essentially, according to Rav, the bia is never conditional. If I'm doing a bia already, that bia has to mean that there's a real marriage. So regardless of the fact that I made the condition only at the time I originally gave her the kedushin, now that I'm going through with the bia has to be chal. The bia has to be chal and accomplish something. Otherwise, because the person, that's the more important to me than anything else, is that my bias are not snus and that my bias are meaningful. So therefore, there is a kedushin over here, and therefore is a marriage, at least to the point, to the degree where the husband is going, if he's not happy, he's going to have to give her a get. Fine, the marriage is chal for purposes of get, but that still doesn't force the husband to stay married to her, because the conditions are still valid conditions. He didn't undo the conditions. Okay, that's the point that the Gemara is saying. It's not that he was moichel the conditions and forget about the conditions. The conditions are still there. But this bia overrides those conditions, and the immediate is that there has to be, that the kedushin is, that there is a kedushin, there is a marriage at some level, and that marriage needs, if they don't want to continue, has to be undone. Okay, fine. So that would be the explanation to Rav. So the Gemara continues. Fine, very nice. This same exact concept in Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, they already had this Machlokes. The Itmar, Ketana Shalomiyano Vehigdilo. Okay, so we have a Ketana, as we know, that she is allowed to be married off by her mother, and her brothers are allowed to marry her off. This is talking about where her father is not alive, because if her father was alive, the father would be the one who would marry her off, and that would be a marriage midaraisa, it's based on a pasuk. So we're talking about the father's not alive, the mother, let's say the mother married her off, and now, so she has the right, since it's only a marriage midarabono, she has the right to say, I don't want to be part of this marriage anymore. Provided that she says that before 12 years old. Before she is 12 years old. So the case over here is that we have a ketana. She got married as a ketana. That she didn't do the process of mian before she was 12 years old. And she now got married and continued to stay with this original husband. Now, and as Rashi points out, the case is over here is she even lived with that first husband. However, omda v'nises. Then she went ahead and she decided, you know what? Later, let's say by the time she's 14, 15 years old, she says, you know what, I found a better guy. And she goes and she gets married to this second guy. So the question is going to be, was the first marriage ever consummated? Because on the one hand, she didn't do mian, and in fact, she continued to live with this guy. But on the other hand, they never did anything positive. They never did anything actively to consummate that first marriage. So we have the same similar type of machlokes. Rav Omar ain't tzricha get misheni. Rav says you don't even need to bother with a get from the second husband because the mere fact that they stay together and live together, okay, as husband and wife, that actually made them have a real marriage. And if so, the second marriage is absolutely nothing, and you don't even need a get from the second marriage. Shmuel Omer, remember that we're trying to emphasize the machlekas over here. Shmuel Omer, tzricha get mei sheni. And Shmuel says, no, there's a little bit left over here that the first husband didn't realize that they were supposed to be doing something to make their marriage more chal. They're still remaining on that midarabanan level of a marriage. And therefore, when she gets married midaraisa, on a daraisa way, in a daraisa way, to the second husband, that second husband really did something. But she'll, of course, she'll have to get divorced because midrabanon, we don't allow her to get married because midrabanon, we still, as far as we're concerned, she's really married to the first guy. Okay, but the point is, we already see, this is the similar type of machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about whether if somebody's already in a circumstance and now they are dealing, they're continuing with that circumstance, do they realize that the reason why they're in this marriage was not really originally chal properly and I have to do something about it now? That's the same machlokes. Rav's saying is I don't realize it, and therefore, on the contrary, Rav's saying is they do realize it. I realize that, and therefore the fact that they continued staying together means that they understood that they were getting remarried now when she's a gedolah. And therefore the second guy is nothing. And Shmuel says, no, they don't realize it. They just continue on their merry old way and they don't even realize that they never consummated their marriage. Okay, that's the point. Same achlekes Rav and Shmuel. So why do we have the same achlekes? Twice, tricha, the Gemara says we need both of them. If we only said that case over there, meaning in the case of Mian. Tonight. Maybe that's where Rav says that the first kedushin is really chal, in because there's no tonight. The husband never said anything; he never made it conditional. So he understood straight out. Everybody knows that the marriage was only midrabbanan. He understood. He never said anything otherwise. So he understood that he has to do something about the marriage here. Avol bahod ika tonight. But over here, where he's saying outright, in the case of our Mishnah, the Nedarim case, where he has to say it outright, maybe the Rav does agree that you have to say it. And if you don't say it, then maybe you don't realize that you're not either doing or undoing the marriage. And therefore we need our Mishnah Nedarim to tell us no, that even in the case of Nedarim, it does flow, it does continue based on the original tonight. Say Shmuel, right? Abba Baha, but in other words, in our Mishnah, De'ika tonight.
You wouldn't need a get. You might think you wouldn't need a get.
You would need a get because, right, you'd think that not. Since I didn't say anything with the second marriage, I was not relying on what I said originally, right? So, Eima Moedu Leila Shmuel would be Moedu to Shmuel that I forgot, since I originally said something and now I'm not saying anything, I guess I forgot about the thing that I was saying, and therefore my condition over here is that it's, right, I dropped it, and therefore I Moedu Leila Shmuel that I don't need a get. I'd be Moedu Shmuel that I don't need a get. V'yit mar baha, and if we only had the case over here in Nedarim, that's talking about Nedarim, baha ka amar Shmuel. Maybe over here Shmuel also, because of the fact that there's a Tanai involved. Avo bahach, but in the case of Mian, where there's no Tanai involved, Eim Moedu Leila Rav, he'll admit to Rav that since there's no Tanai, I just do what I need to do, and everybody knows the process, and knows that it's only Derabbanan, and I have to do something Deraisa now. And therefore, he would be Moedu to Rav that I need a get. That I need a get, right?
That's the Havamina.
Right. Well, that's the Havamina over here. But in the case of Miun, I would not need a get because since I know the process, I would have made the marriage proper. I would have made it a Daraisa marriage. Tzricha to tell us that Shmuel argues even in that case. And Shmuel says, no, even in that case, by a katana, a person doesn't necessarily know the rules and doesn't necessarily take care of making it into a good marriage. Okay, so that's why we need both cases, because learning one halacha would not necessarily tell us a full indication of what the second marriage is. Okay, fine. Now, tonight. Let's go back to our second case of the Mishnah. Let's say he did end up getting married, and he never said anything about the Nedarim, the fact that she has Nedarim. So the halacha is that they are allowed to get divorced now that she has Nedarim, and the husband's able to say, I can't handle this. Not only are they can end that marriage, but he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. So the Gemara says, one second, that sounds like ksuba hu deloy boy. That means it sounds like I just don't have to pay a ksuba hakita boyitz. But I do need a get. So my love. So what's the case over here? Because the Mishnah, this Brisa that we're quoting, or rather the Mishnah that just says kuntzah, that's our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that she got married without making it tonight. Now, how did they get to this stage where they're getting married? My love, kinshal tonight, the kuntzah stam. Must be exactly our case. That's the machloikas Rav and Shmuel. And the case was he originally made the condition, but now, when it comes to the marriage part of it, he didn't make the condition. And still we're saying that the condition is chal, tiyuf to the Shmuel. So this would go exactly against Shmuel, who says that in that case, you don't even need a get, because the condition carries through to the marriage. So. Right? So that means our Mishnah would be exactly against Shmuel's opinion. The Gemara now on the top of Ayin Gimel says, Loi, Kitcha Stam, the Kansa Stam. The case over here is not the case that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. Rather, it's a case where they never discussed Nedarim at all. And therefore, the Kedushin was properly Chal, because they didn't discuss Nedarim at that stage. And now, when he got married, the marriage goes through, but it turns out that he's not happy, so this is an issue that he's allowed to divorce her. He's allowed to divorce her because she has Nedarim. Okay, without paying a Ketsuba. Okay, but if that's true, comes out of a kitchal tonight, the konsustam. So that means that if that's the way, if that's the kimta, that's the way we want to explain our Mishnah, that means in the Mishnah would agree that if I did have, if I did say it, if I did make the conditions when I got engaged, the konsustam, and then didn't say anything later, so that would mean that you would agree once again that, like Shmuel, that I don't need a get. If according to the way Shmuel is explaining it, so if that's the case, that I don't even need a get, so we have a technical problem with our Mishnah. Why do we bother saying the case of our Mishnah is that I did the kedushin on the condition, and the conditions was not filled, and it's ain mekudeshes, that you're not mekudeshes. Of course, you're not mekudeshes. It was a very clear condition, and the condition was not fulfilled. So let's say a better case, according to the way Shmuel's understanding the case of the Mishnah is, listen, he konsustam. Not just that he did a kedushin and the kedushin wasn't chal. Of course, if the kedushin was not chal, we never got past first base. We never started this marriage. Let's talk about the fact that he got her konsustam. Yes, it's true he made the condition only by the kedushin stage, and now he's doing the marriage step, and that would be a chiddush that there's no marriage here whatsoever. And now you'd be saying, ooh, that's a big chiddush, that at the time he got married and he didn't even say anything, still the kedushin was not chal in the first place. And certainly if they never got married, they only did the kedushin. So why would, according to Shmuel, that would be a much bigger chiddush in the Mishnah to be talking about the next stage, and you didn't say anything, and still it goes back, it undermines the first stage in the first place. Okay, so the Gemara, right, that's a kash on Shmuel. Why didn't the Mishnah say it? So the Gemara says very simply, Hachinami ka'amar, Enochinami, that is what the Mishnah is saying. It's not a kash on me, because I think that that's what the Mishnah is saying. It says, Hamakadosh Isha, Almanash She'eno Le'enadar. V'konsostam, if somebody gives a kedushin with the kedushin has the conditions, and then even though when he got to the marriage he didn't say anything, v'nimtza aleha nedarim, and then it turns out that, you know, it's problematic that she does have nedarim, ein mekudeshes, you're not married, okay? Because I originally made the conditions at the time of kedushin. The only exception to the rule would be kitshostam v'konsostam. If I never said anything, then teitzei shaloi b'ksuba. Okay, then that's the way Shmuel would read the Mishnah. That's where I would say, again, the marriage is still a good marriage because I never said anything. But even so, the chiddush is that in that case, I'm allowed to divorce her without a ksuba, because once, we'll see why in a moment, because I can't handle the nedarim. Fine. So the Gemara immediately makes the diyuk. It comes out that it's a good marriage, but you don't have to pay a ksuba. So ksuba hu deloi boi. Hagita boi. So you're saying that, okay, the marriage went through, I don't have to pay a ksuba. Fine, I still need a get. So maishna ksuba deloy boy. So I don't understand. Let's try to understand the difference over here. Either you have a marriage. Normally we understand if you have a marriage, then all the rules of marriage apply. For some reason over here, we have a marriage, but the rule of ksuba doesn't apply. What would be the difference? Well, maishna, what's the difference? Ksuba deloy boy. Hey, I don't have to pay the ksuba. The omar, why? How do I get out of that? The omar, because the husband could say, ef shebe isha nedranet. I can't live with the woman who has nedarim. So I don't have to pay for this. So iachi get nami loyti boy. So then, if that's the logic, then that, and that's sort of like a given that every husband has that right to say that I don't want to be, I don't want to be stuck in this type of marriage. So then that means that it was, like, so to speak, an unwritten condition to every marriage. He shouldn't have to pay a get either. So why is he? He shouldn't have to give a get either. Shouldn't need a get either, because I'm saying that that's an automatic condition to a marriage. So Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, Tricha get me divrehem. The reason why you need it is because it looks like a marriage, so you have to go through the process of a get. It's midah rabbanu. You're right, midah raisa, so they're not really married in the first place. Rav Chisda also said that you really don't need to. You're right. This is not a marriage. This is not a marriage. But midah rabbanu, you go through the process. That's the way they answer. Rabba says no, slightly different. Tonas fuke misafkele is mesupik whether or not it's a good marriage. It could be that it is, could be that it's not. So therefore, gabim emayno lekula. By money, we can go lekula because hamaytzi mechaver alavarai. So we're not going to force him to pay something if we can't really prove that he has an obligation. So fine, we can go lekula. He doesn't have to pay. Gabi yisur lechumra, but yisur we can't play around with that. By yisur, it's either asur or it's mutter. So by yisur, by when it comes to the giving the divorce, we're going to have to deal with it as if it was really a marriage, and that's why in conclusion we're going to have to give the get just in case, but we cannot force him to pay ksuba, and he'll. And even though he's giving a get, he's still not going to pay. We can't force him to pay any money. Amar Rabba, the Gemara now continues with an interesting line over here, which really changes our whole understanding of what the case is in our mission in the first place. So Rabba says, "Machloikis." This machloikis between Rav and Shmuel is betois shtei nashim. It's only talking about when you're dealing with a second marriage. But if it's all dealing with the same woman throughout, you don't need a get. Which changes everything we've been saying till now. Until now we assumed we were talking about the same woman, I made the conditions, I got married, and now we have this machlekes Rav and Shmuel. According to Rabbah, that was never the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, in that single case, where you have one woman where you very explicitly said, I don't want nedarim, and then eventually, even if you go through the marriage quietly, you said already, you made your conditions. Those conditions are still there, and there's no marriage. There's nothing to talk about, according to this explanation. Where did it go? Exactly. If I made it conditional, then it's conditional. The conditions are the conditions. Right. But here, so rather, the case is very simply where I did make a condition specifically with one woman. And whether or not that marriage went through or not is not relevant, at least at this point in the Gemara. I made those conditions. And then I went ahead and got engaged to a second girl. And with the second girl, I didn't say anything. So the question is, by the fact that I made conditions to the first one, is that an indication, is that proof that I cannot handle nedarim? And therefore, any marriage I enter into for the rest of my life is automatically understood that it's without nedarim. Because obviously I'm the type of guy who can't handle nedarim. Or do we say, no, for whatever reason, specifically with this girl I had an issue, but maybe somebody else, I don't care, I'm willing to accept her even with her nedarim. So that becomes the issue over here. That becomes the machlokes. Again, so the case is we're not dealing with the girl herself that I originally spoke out and said explicitly, you cannot have nedarim, because there's no question over there, I said it. The only issue is with the second girl, whether or not that original condition with somebody else should apply and carry over to the second girl or not. That becomes the machlokes. That is the way Rabba understood the entire explanation of Rav Shmuel's machlokes in how they understood our Mishnah. So Amalei Abaya says to Rabba, "What are you talking about? Our Mishnah is a case where, if you look at the simple reading of our Mishnah is a case that's only dealing with one woman. It's not dealing with somebody else. And we use our Mishnah as a raya against Shmuel. So we see that our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's only one girl. And even so, the Gemara originally, the question that we had on the bottom of Amud Bey is on top of Amud Aleph." Excuse me, the bottom of Amud Aleph and the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara that we just did on the top. So the Gemara over there uses our Mishnah as a kasha on Shmuel, and our Mishnah is talking about there's only one wife involved. There's only one wife. So we see that even in the case of one wife, Shmuel will argue and say that you need a get. Maybe he dropped the conditions, and so at least we have a possibility of dropping the conditions. Eli'i Itmar Hochi Itmar. Sabaya says no. Rabba, if you want to say something, this is the way you got to say it. Omar Rabba. So Rabba's the explanation of Rabba is like this: Machloikis betois isha achas ke'ein shtei noshim. They only argue in a case where you're dealing with the wife that has gone through the process twice, as we'll see in a second. Avotoyis isha achas greidasa divrei hakol ein tzricha emen again. But if you're only dealing with one woman, all throughout, it's a straight throughout marriage. Everybody agrees, like Shmuel, that you don't need a get whatsoever. Again, as we said before, that part of the explanation is the same. If I very clearly said it's conditional on X, and I don't fulfill that condition, then that's the basis of our marriage. Then of course the marriage can't go through if the conditions are not fulfilled. But rather the case is like this. Yes, we are talking about one woman, and that's the case of our mission as one woman. However, what happened was, You made a Kedushin, and for whatever reason they got divorced. He handed her a get from the Kedushin. That ended. And then he re-engaged her. And he did a second Kedushin with the same girl. And on the second time around, he didn't say anything. And here the question is, if I'm dealing with the same girl, who clearly I had an issue with the fact that she had Nedarim with the first time, because I said it, but the second time around I went through the Kedushin, I didn't speak out everything, you know. Sometimes that happens. If I said it once, I don't have to say it every time I say it, I don't have to say the same speech over again. So, well, that's the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, well, I didn't say it the second time. I guess I didn't care about it the second time. Shmuel says, no. I said it the first time. I meant it. And therefore, because it's the same girl, it carries through the second time around as well. And that is the Machlekes. Okay, well, if that's the Machlekes, so again, we are talking about one girl, but it's essentially like a second girl, because it's the second time around, even for the same girl. So let's see whether that holds up in other sugyas in Shas, that if there's a condition, we have to worry about it or not. Esvei Abaye. So Abaye now asks. So Abaye, interestingly, was explaining what Rabba said. He said, even Rabba must have said it like this. But it's still Rabba's opinion. And Abaye now is asking Kashas on Rabba's opinion whether or not he wants to hold of it, or to see whether it carries through. So let's see, another Mishnah. Kidsha B'Tois. This is just in general, that they did a Kedushin and the whole thing was a mistake for whatever reason. We'll see what that mistake is in the first place. Upochas Mishaba Pruta. There the Mishnah lists a couple of problems. And they got married originally with less than a Shava Pruta. And we all know that a marriage, you have to, in order to do the marriage, if you're going to give money, the money has to be worth a Pruta. V'chein Koton Shekidesh. And also if you have a boy underage that tries to get married. Even if he ends up sending presents and he gives her more money later, he continues to send presents like fiancés do, like chosen and kalas do. Eina mekudeshes, even though they did give more money later, meaning, and eventually this cotton grows up, and eventually, right, even though they don't discuss the conditions anymore. So all of the things, it's still eina mekudeshes. Why? Very clearly, shemachmas kedushin arishonim shalach. Because everything he's sending later is all contingent on the first marriage. So if the first marriage went through, great. If the first marriage went through, then it is chal. Okay. The imbalu kanu. Oh. But if they went ahead and they had a bia, so then the bia itself works as the marriage. Okay, that's the Tanna Kama Shita. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda mishum Rav Shmuel loymer. So the name of Rav Shmuel imbalu loy kanu. No. Even so, they did a bia that doesn't prove, that doesn't wipe away everything that happened in the past. Again, still similar idea. We're still relying on what happened in the past. Now, let's talk about what the case is in order to see how that applies to us. Now, the case over here is, now we're assuming that the tois over here is Kedushin. Let's assume it's our same case that he said, I thought you don't have any Nedarim, and it turns out that she does have Nedarim. That's the mistake. Okay, now this is all a case. This case is clearly talking about one woman, that he did this, he made this Kedushin, and then sent presents. It's all the same girl. Upligi, and we see that there's a machlokes. Oh, so that would be exactly the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. My love, tois nedarim, there's no reason to believe otherwise. It must be that the mistake that we made over here, the tois of the marriage, is the fact that he said you cannot have nedarim, and it turns out that she does have nedarim. That's the mistake. That's the tois. So we see that's exactly the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and we're talking about one girl. We're not talking about two girls or like two girls or two marriages. We're talking about one straight marriage, and still there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel whether or not the kedushin is chal after a bia. So the Gemara says, look. So the Gemara says, like, Toys pachas mishava pruta. The case over here is the mistake is that they ended up doing the kedushin with less than a shava pruta. Really, in other words, just to fill in the words over here, really by nedarim, if it's one girl and you made the condition by the nedarim, everybody agrees there's no marriage. That's simple. Over here, we're talking about that the mistake happens to be because of the fact that he gave less than a dollar, less than a shava pruta. And that's where you have a machlokes whether or not I really was relying on that less than a pruta or not. So the Gemara says, one second, that can't be. It says That's the less than a shava pruta is a different case in the Mishnah itself. So how could you say the mistake is the less than the shava pruta? Because it says, and the Gemara quotes, kidsha betoys upepachas mishava pruta, and less than shava pruta. There's two different examples. So the toys has to be something else, which means we can assume that the toys is still the nedarim case. So it's the same. So we're back to our original kasha. So if it's the nedarim case, so we see there's a machlokes. So the Gemara answers no. Perushe kamefarish. The Gemara is the Mishnah itself is explaining itself. What is the mistake? The mistake was the amount of money that they gave for Kedushin. And the way to read it is like this. Kidsha betois, if a person gave a mistake in, he made a whole mistake with the Kedushin. Ketzad, and what would be that example? What is the mistake? Kegoin shekidsha bepachas mishava pruta. And the mistake was that he gave her less than a shava pruta for the Kedushin itself. Okay, and that's the machlekes, which again, to our point over here, what's relevant for us is that, therefore, we're not discussing nedarim, and in the context of nedarim, if I said clearly I don't want nedarim, and it turns out that she has nedarim, there should be no machlekes whatsoever, there is no marriage here. I said, I made my conditions were not fulfilled, so there's no marriage, both according to Rav and Shmuel, there should be no machlekes. Machlekes over here would only be in a case where I gave less than the right amount for kedushin. So the Gemara says, but my kamiflagi, what are they arguing about? If we gave less than a shava pruta, then there was no marriage. So what's the machlekes? And the machlekes would have to be mar savar adam yoideya shein kedushin toifs and bepachas mishava pruta. Everybody knows that if I gave less than the right amount, that there was no marriage. Everybody knows there's nothing to talk about. So therefore, remember the case over here was that he eventually sent presents. The gomar ubal l'shem kedushin. So then, when eventually he does the bia, it says like, okay, I know that until now we were just playing around. Until now, it wasn't really anything because it was less than a shava pruta. So now, if we're going to do a bia, now already I'm taking it seriously. So I don't rely on the bia that I'm doing now is not reliant upon what I did in the past. That's one shita. And therefore the kedushin, the bia is a real bia because I know it has nothing to do with the past. Umar Sobar and Rabbi Shmuel's shita is, no, not everybody knows that. There could be people who, for whatever reason, believe that even less than a shava pruta is still something. And therefore, when he does the bia, he's still relying on the fact that he thinks that it's based on, you know, it's continuation of the original less than a shava pruta that he gave. So when he does the bia, he doesn't do anything new. It's still with the same reliance on something that never took place in the first place. Right? So therefore, so that would be the machlekes. Okay, so for our purposes, therefore, this Mishnah is not really relevant to our discussion, to whether or not by Isha Achas, by Nedarim and Isha Achas, is he relying on the original condition or not? And the Isha Achas. Because it comes, you could really say by Isha Achas, like the Gemara, like Rabbah wanted to say, which is, everybody agrees if I made the conditions are still there. Here, the Machlekes is by Shava Pruta, Bachas Mishava Pruta, whether people know about it or not. It's nothing to do with our Sugya. Okay. So, Isfe, Abai asked the second Kasha, the Gemara asked the second Kasha. Continuing now, the Gemara has another Kasha. Isfe. Hareini boyalech al manas sheyirtza abba. Here's another condition, where a guy goes over to a girl and says, "I want to marry you, but I want to make sure that your father consents to this marriage." Now, over here, for whatever reason, they're doing the kedushin with the bia itself. They're starting with the bia. Okay, so starting with the bia. So the halacha is afa pisha loy rotza ha'av mikudeshus. The Tanakhama is like, listen, if I'm already going to a bia, and that I'm not, even though I'm saying it's conditioned on the father, I don't really mean to make it conditional on the father. That's not like, the father has no, it's too late now. The father really has no say in the matter, and it doesn't really matter whether or not he agrees. Okay, that's the Tanakhama Shita. That's maybe difficult Shita to understand because you said it. But for whatever reason, it's Bia, so I don't care. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Reb Shimon, says in the name of Reb Shimon, Rota Av Mekudesh. So he says, no, if I made it conditional, then it's conditional. If the father agrees, then I'm married. Loy Rota Av Eina Mekudesh. If the father doesn't agree, then they're not married. Okay, fine. That's the machlekes over there in that Mishnah, whether or not I care what the father has to say. Now, the halacha, Tois Isha Achas Dami. Over here, it's again, it's the same girl. I'm making conditions on this girl itself. Ubligi. And once again, we see very clearly as a machlekas whether or not that original condition makes a difference or not, carries through. Because obviously, he originally made the condition relying on the father and then just went ahead and did the Biyah. And usually we say when we do the Biyah, I don't care what happened beforehand. So we see this is a machlekas. So again, our Mishnah also could be a machlekas. They're Ubligi and they argue. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the same. Hasan Bahakam Iflagi. Over there, they're arguing on a very specific issue. Over there, Marsava Amanash Shayir Tzaha'a. When I say, the issue is, what did I say? I said, I want the father to agree. Now, what does agree mean? Amanash Shayishtai Ka'av. When I say I want him to agree, I'm not looking for his approval. I'm just want to make sure that he doesn't have dissent.
He's not protesting,
he's not rejecting. So, therefore, if he says nothing, as far as I'm concerned, that's consent. Because I'm not looking for him to say, yes, go ahead. All I want is that he doesn't interfere. So if he doesn't interfere, then it's a good marriage. So this has nothing to do with whether, so therefore, the condition itself is fulfilled. Really, I could agree with you that if the condition is not filled, the condition is not filled. Here, the machloikis is about whether or not the condition was fulfilled. One shita says, I just don't want a rejection. He didn't reject me? Good. And the other one says, no, when I say I want your father's approval, what I mean to say is I want your father to say yes. And over here in this case, that again, you have to know that what the case is, but the Gemara is now telling us that the case is that the father kept quiet. So the father never said yes. And my condition, at least we understand the condition was that he has to say yes. If he didn't say yes, then we all agreed it's a condition and the condition wasn't fulfilled if he didn't say yes. Unless you hold that I don't need him to say yes. I just need that he doesn't say no. Okay, so that Gemara is not relevant to us. Next, Eisvei, I'll ask you another kash. Moedim chachamim l'Rebbe Eliezer, b'ketana she'asiya avo v'niskarsha. Okay, so this is a case over here where the case was like this, that the father married off his young daughter, which perfectly legitimate, the father's allowed to do that, and then she gets divorced. And we'll see exactly what the case over here is. She gets divorced while she is still a ketana. Okay, so remember, when the father marries off a daughter, it's a marriage midaraisa. That's a full-blown marriage. And then she gets divorced, as long as the husband does it correctly, he gives the father the get, or whatever the case halacha is, they're fully divorced. Now, so that's the first half of the case. Now what happened? Vihi yisoyma b'chaya ha'av, and now she is what is called technically in halacha yisoyma. She's considered a yisoyma even though her father's still alive because she's completely out of her father's jurisdiction because she got married. She got married, the father has no right, the father, for example, cannot remarry her a second time. She's on her own. Okay, now. Vechzira, and then the same husband married her again. Now this is starting to sound like our case. Because our case also was, there was a divorce. That was our case. Remember that he made the condition with the Nedarim, they divorced her, and then he remarried her. So the same thing is going on, similar at least, sounds similar. In this case also, where he married her, and now she's on her own, and he remarries her. Now the problem is, if he remarries her while she's still a ketana, that marriage is not a marriage midaraisa. Now, so therefore, if he remarries her, and then Nebuch, this husband, dies, shecholetzes v'loy misyabemes. So in that case, she can only do chalitza, she can't do yibum. She can't do yibum because she was once upon a time married to this guy. Now that he divorced her, she becomes an isrei shesach. She becomes usher to the brothers, and therefore, even though he remarried her, since the marriage was only a marriage midarabanon, it's only a marriage midarabanon, so she's not really married. So we can't do yibum because they're not really married. But on the other hand, we have to do chalitza because at least on a derabanan level she was married. Okay, as the Mishnah itself says, mipnei, or the Brisa says, mipnei shegirsha Gerishin Gemurim, because very clearly the divorce that he gave her was a real divorce, midaraisa. Ve'en chazara gemura. And her return, her remarriage, was not a real marriage, as we just explained, because since it's not the father marrying her off, she's doing it as her on her own, and she is a katana, so therefore it's not a full-blown marriage. Okay? So that's the halacha, you do chalitza and not yibum. However, the Braisa continues. The case was that he divorced her while she was still a katana. Okay, that's our case. And he remarried her also while she was still a katana. And that's why we have a problem with the second marriage. But if he divorced her even when she was still a katana, okay, that's not a problem. Oh. And he remarried her when she's a gedolah, so no problem. Once she's a gedolah, she's allowed to marry herself off. That's a daraisa dika marriage. Now this is important. Or the case was, even if he did remarry her when she was a katana at that time, but now she has continued to grow up with him, the gadla etzlay, and she grew up with him, umes, and then he dies after she became a gedolah, and assuming that they lived together after she was a gedolah, and then he dies, then oichaletzes oimis yabemis. So here the Tanakama Shita is they could do chalitza or yibum. They're able to do the second marriage, again, even though he actually technically married her while she was a katana, since they grew up together, and now she's a gedolah, that marriage is considered a full-blown marriage. You can even do yibum. That's the Tanakama Shita. So he's saying, midaraisa, I could do yibum. Now, interesting, now that we're going to do ayin dalet, we're just going to do five lines on ayin dalet. The top of ayin dalet, amad aleph. The Gemara says, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Tanakama Shita. It says, Amru, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, they say, Choletzes v'loy misyab emes. You can only do chalitza, you can't do yibum. And Rashi explains, this is really because it's a gezeira. In other words, really midaraisa, they're married. And the only reason Rabbi Eliezer objects to it is because of a gezeira midarabanan, because we're worried about that first case where he remarried her while she was a katana, and he died while she was a katana, and it can confuse people, and people will, and over there for sure you can't do yibum. So over here also we're not, even though right now technically they could really do yibum, but we're not, as a gezeira, we're not going to allow her to do yibum, because we don't want anybody to be confused, because anytime you're dealing with marriage of a katana, the answer is always you do chalitza, not yibum. Okay. In any event, we have a machlekes. We have a machlekes over here. Now the pashtus is that they're arguing about whether or not it seems, again, on its face, it seems that the machlekes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer, whether or not you could do yibum, is contingent on whether the fact that when she grew up, they understood that they had to consummate the marriage, that what they did in the past was nothing. So this is exactly our case, once again, where you had a faulty marriage to start with, because he married her while she was a katana, and then they grew up and they lived together. Do we assume that when they are getting together later, he dropped the issue and he knew that he had to remarry her in a real marriage? So, and we have a machlokes. That's a machlokes. According to the Tanakhama, you could even do yibum, which means, according to the Tanakhama Shita, is that they understood that there was a problem with the katana marriage, and he redid the marriage and he did it properly the second time. So therefore the same thing would be by us also. By us also you would say that he understood that the conditions were a problem. He dropped the conditions. He dropped the condition so that he could remarry her the proper way. And therefore the Gemara says, Vahocha de Kadoisi Sha'achas Domi. Again, we're certainly talking about the same girl. Upligi, and once again, we have a machlekes. So we see that there is a machlekes. Don't say, remember the whole issue going back, let's not forget the question that the Gemara is asking. Was Rabba Shita was that when we're dealing with one girl, even though I didn't say the condition the second time expressly, we understood that it's all, if it's one girl, for sure the conditions still are in place and there's no marriage. So over here we see that there's a case where we're not relying on the original marriage. There's a machlekes whether or not we rely on the original, so to speak, conditions or the original situation. And there's a machlekes. So they do argue even by Isha Achas. Okay, so we're just going to read the answer of the Gemara to so that Rabba's not schlugged up. So the Gemara answers, no. Hasam nami b'hokam iflagi. Over there, again, in that case, by the Yibum issue, is a whole different machlekes. There's nothing to do with whether or not you thought the first marriage was a good marriage or not. Marsav adam yodei she'en kedusha ketana klum. It's a question of really just what the knowledge is. Conditions are conditions. Really, Rabba's right that when you make a condition, the conditions live throughout. And we understood that that's his understanding and that's what he's relying on. He's relying on his conditions. Over here, we're talking about, do people know the halachas about ketana or not? The first shita holds adam yodei she'en kedusha ketana klum. He knows that when he remarried her as a ketana, it was nothing. V'gomer ubal l'shem kedushin. And therefore, when he lived with her, eventually when she was a gedola, he realized, okay, now we're making this into a real marriage. Umar Sovar, and the other shita says, ain adam yodei she'en kedusha ketana klum. He doesn't necessarily know it, and I'll tell you why. For example, when he married her through the father, she was a ketana, and that was a midaraisa dika kedushin. So it's possible for a person to think that it is, because there are actually scenarios that midaraisa ketana is married. So therefore, I can see how a person can make that mistake. And therefore, v'chi kabal adaita the kedushin harishonim kabal. And therefore, over here also, even in the second marriage, he figures, okay, she's on her own. If she's on her own, she has the right to make these decisions. Maybe my kedushin was a good kedushin, and therefore doesn't go back and redo, consummate the marriage fully in the way it was supposed to be done. And therefore, this machlekes has nothing to do with whether or not, if I made a condition, I understand that the conditions survive. Because, yes, I would agree with Rabba. I could agree with Rabba's position, which is that if I made the conditions once, conditions are conditions and they'll survive with the same girl. Maybe with the second girl it might be different, or even with the same girl, if I divorced her and started over again, maybe I'm starting over again. Okay, that I understand. But over here, this has nothing to do with this. Over here is simply a machlekes whether a guy knows. It's a piece of information. Do people know that the halacha is that when I marry a ketana, that the marriage is not a real good marriage? Okay, so we'll stop over here, and we'll pick up over here next time.